Today, I want to talk about the pressure to perform. The pressure to, when you imagine yourself being successful in your business, okay? So maybe you're starting to get some media attention. Maybe you're starting to get some attention from within your industry, okay? Yeah. And let's say you're an awesome carpenter and you make the most amazing cabinetry. And so your association wants you to come and speak. And you're terrified of speaking. And so you want to be recognized. You want your magnificence to be recognized, your brilliance, your special thing that you bring to the world. Mm-hmm. Your heart longs to be recognized. We all do. From earliest infancy, we long to be seen. But with that, then you can sometimes feel, and then I'll have to do this, and I'll have to do that, I'll have to do this, and it's a pressure, and I won't be in charge anymore, and my life will get away from me, and we've all seen people who've been ruined by media attention, and so now we're back into a block and a saboteur that can stop that process of you being seen and you being valued and you being recognized from starting in the first place.
Mm.
I think my biggest fear and holdback when I think about, okay, I've hit big time and now I'm going to have to perform, right? I'm going to speak all the time, and I don't mind speaking. I enjoy speaking from time to time, but I don't want to be one of these traveling salesmen going around the country speaking at every venue, and oh, I'm speaking at this conference, and I'm invited here, and I'm invited there, and I'm so great, and I'm like, for me, it's like, you know what, I want to go ride my horses and paint my art, and I don't want to be, you know, traveling in some stinky airplane, staying in some stinky hotel, so that I can get up, and even though I'd love to get up and help those people for an hour and a half, it's really not worth the 4 days of mayhem and loss of my freedom.
Well, and not to mention your kids.
Well, exactly.
And picking up the pieces.
Oh, and you come home and they're all like, Mom. And so that's the pressure. And again, it's not logical.
No.
Because I don't have to accept speaking engagement.
No.
I can say I will do one speaking engagement a year. That's my maximum. I could say I will only appear on a TV show if it has this kind of exposure and if they pay for this and they pay for that and they pay for this. Logically, I know that. But my knee-jerk, visceral, instant reaction is, ew, no, I don't want to do any of that stuff.
Now, the question I have to ask you is when you feel that, are you able to say, okay, maybe I choose to speak once a month, but the intention that I set, look at her face, eh? Like, no, it's honest. Because you have wealth, abundance that comes out of who you are. And so what if you were able to say, okay, well, once a month I speak, but the intention that I hold is that these parameters come into place, including in my home life. Maybe there's a hired, you've got someone who can come in and cook and someone that can come in and clean. And your husband maybe takes a little bit more time. And what if it looked like that?
What if it could, I could share the help and the healing that I have for people.
Yeah.
But it could be done with ease.
And grace.
And freedom and lightness. Okay, so here we're getting to it.
Oh, one more.
Yeah.
Belief.
Belief in what?
That it can be done.
Yes, exactly.
That's
because the now that we're breaking it down, I go, okay, and what is underneath the visceral reaction was that when I think about speaking at that at a schedule or on a pace, it feels heavy and it feels limiting. So if we go, okay, so let's change that.
What if we offer a new perspective out there?
Let's reframe it so that speaking once a month looks like this. And it's I get to choose.
Well, because what makes me feel heavy may not make
okay,
you feel heavy.
Okay, next. Well, but we know one thing makes us feel heavy. That we can't poop.
Constipation is really heavy. It wrecks your life.
When mine go away.
I wonder if people are like, okay, so we're not crazy, but seriously.
Yeah, no, it's true.
No, but this is a small detail.
But it's not small.
But it is not small to some people. Like, I can't be in physical pain, plus gluten allergy. So for me, I'm gluten-free because it regulates me. It gives me more... Okay, but... And the same goes for you. Mm-hmm. But what would stop someone dead in their tracks from moving into the beauty of life-changing speaking? Mm-hmm. You can speak and change someone's life. Yeah, but I don't... This won't...
I'm not going to cry for 4 days.
And I can't take a crap.
It's not worth it.
Because my body knows I'm on a plane. How am I going to get off the plane?
Yeah.
And then I'm all tied up. And then... Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the reality. So that's the reality.
Yes.
And you know something? Can we change your perspective?
Jeans?
This is really about her today.
Can we change the perspective? Can we bargain with the universe? Can we say, I will do that if you make it?
Oh, yes, we can.
So that.
Oh, yes, we can. Absolutely.
You make it so that I can fly in a plane and I'm not constipated. You make it so I don't personally have that problem, but I do have a friend who does. And it was like getting on a plane. Oh, you safe?
Okay.
You know, or maybe we can even reframe that. Maybe we can say, maybe that piece can't be controlled. But how about that you give me a liquid food to drink so that I can be constipated for a couple days, but I feel no discomfort.
Or,
and knowing that as soon as I get home, I'm going to have a clear up.
I'm going to put my brains out. Okay, but what about if we move to one more step, not constipation? But what if it's this? Yes, I will do what I need to do. I will move into that. I will own it. I will step into it. Mm-hmm. Even if there's a little cost. But what if the cost looks like this? I have to work from this time to this time, take a sleep, and then wake up at midnight and work till 4. Mm-hmm. Right? Perspective change. One of the other things that held me back from moving forward?
Sleep.
Right. Sleep deprivation. Yeah. Who wants to have sleep deprivation when you already know you've got 4 kids, haven't slept for 14 years, you've got an up-and-coming, well, she's a teenager now, and the next one is already just turned teenager. When am I ever going to sleep?
Yeah.
So, perspective change. Yeah. I don't want to be tired. Right, but then it's sort of like this. You can do what you need to do to get it done. But the bargain with the universe is, okay, I'm going to get 7 hours of sleep. Mm-hmm. It's not solid.
Right.
Okay? Because last night, I had 6 hours of sleep, 3 hours from 9 till midnight, mm-hmm. and then 3 hours from 4:30, quarter to 5, till 7:30. Mm-hmm. And I'm fine.
Which is fine for you. For someone else, that may kill them.
But that's
but
not...
Then their parameter is different.
That's
they
what I'm saying.
I need 7 hours in a row.
Done.
So how do I get that?
Exactly.
Okay, which is my reality. I need 7 hours and they need to be in a row. So I say, okay, you know, it's summer, the kids are home, they're driving me crazy. I'm not even going to try to work during the day because that just causes tension. And that feels like pressure. So I am going to go be with my horses, and which I take my daughter with me, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go out in the yard and play soccer with my boys, and I'm going to really tend to my physical body mm-hmm. during the day. I'm going to get lots of exercise, I'm going to sweat, I'm going to detox, and then when the kids go to bed at 10, I'm going to work till 2. Sometimes I work till 3, and then I sleep in, because I've told my kids, I'm being with you during the day, I'm doing this, because then I'm going to go to work. I'm not going to get to sleep till 2 or 3 in the morning, So can you guys please be quiet? Can you please go down to the basement?
Yeah.
And they honor that because I'm honoring them. You know, I'm saying, I see your need and you want me to play soccer. I don't even like soccer. I'll play soccer up there. And then they honor me. And they don't want to go down to the basement when they first wake up.
No.
But they do because we've made a trade because there's a...
So see, that kind of processing right here, that's really helpful because you can feel good about whatever the thing that you may feel like, oh man, it's crazy to say. Mm-hmm. It's crazy for me to have to say, oh, I'm worried about pooping. Or, oh, I'm worried about sleeping. Shouldn't you be able to sacrifice that for this dream? I don't think so. I don't think that we need to be in that position to say, oh, you have to sacrifice. But I think that that's what the world says.
The world says
you need to sacrifice. If you don't have some really good scars, you haven't really made it.
Yeah.
And I say, oh, let's just offer new perspective.
Yeah.
Jeannie, how does it work for you? What would make you feel good about speaking once a month?
If I were to speak locally.
Done.
So I don't have to get on a plane.
Well, who? Get on the phone.
Yeah.
Dial her up right now because that's cool. Yeah. That's really important.
Yeah. And the other thing is to find a way to frame it so that something is enjoyable for you.
Mm.
So let's say if someone is absolutely terrified of public speaking, don't even go there. Do radio.
Yeah.
Do audio, audio recordings or audio courses, or there's a lot of ways to put yourself out there and connect to the people who need to hear your message that fit within your comfort zone.
Absolutely.
And, you know, for me, I'm kind of like at the other end of the spectrum. Not only am I not afraid of speaking in public, but I get really bored. Like the idea of having to memorize a speech and then repeat the same speech over and over.
Oh, but maybe you're called to risk.
Exactly. So what excites me is going up on stage blind in front of like 1,000 people and not knowing what I'm going to say ahead of time. That totally turns my crank because that for
me... But it strikes fear.
It does, but it's a good fear.
Exactly.
It's a like, okay, go for it. Jump off the cliff into the ocean below and we're going to be good.
Yeah.
Because that's my personality.
Totally.
That turns my crank. I like that. So for me, I have to go, I'm not going to lock myself in. And maybe that's something that I organize with my event. I will not speak for 1 hour and 10 minutes on the nose because if I have to keep watching the clock, I can't be in the flow.
Yeah.
Here's how I speak. I get up there and I speak. And when you want me to end it, you have someone stand up and go 5 minutes. And then I just end it. And whatever comes out is what they get. And if you're not okay with that, don't invite me to speak.
Mm.
Oh, now I'm feeling better.
Now you're feeling better.
Because I was thinking it was my responsibility to manage the talk and the flow and the end, but actually it's not.
No. And see, did you see the transition of this? I know you see this. Because we're sitting here having a conversation, and when I said to her, how could we make it work for you to speak once a month, and you watched, I pointed out her face, just went, oh, and here we go.
Yeah.
So it's a perspective change, and it's not, see, that is exactly what Listen to Your Freedom is about. Mm-hmm. That, again, is another checkmark for spirituality and healing.
Mm-hmm.
Because something that has been a thing for you for how long? How many years?
Well, I've been performing since I was 9.
Okay, so, but when did you say, oh my goodness, Jeans, when did you say, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm not doing this anymore.
Doing what? Performing? I think it was after London.
But you said.
Because I spent 3 years as a singer-songwriter there.
And you said.
And I was done.
And you said.
I was like, this is yucky.
And?
I'm done.
Thou.
Yeah.
I solemnly declare that I will never do this again.
And
now I have clarity. Because the feeling that comes off of that is yucky.
Yeah.
But it's because in the moment, you were exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
You were depleted.
Mm-hmm.
You had been running ragged.
Mm-hmm.
And you were finished. It's not that you were never going to do this again.
Mm.
But in the moment, you said, due to those circumstances, you said, I'm done.
I'm done for now.
Then,
yeah.
But you didn't say for now.
I didn't say.
And that's the point, is that she didn't say for now. Mm-hmm. And that is that instantly is a chain reaction. We had to go all the way back there to just after London to get to the place where that declaration, there was a pronouncement made, I will not do this. And now we're sitting here with a moving, so her experience is freedom for you. Okay? Listen to your freedom. Jeannie doesn't have it sewn up.
And nobody does.
And you know, you do not ever pretend that.
We'll never be done.
But this is important for you to see. Mm-hmm. That she created this whole thing and is still in process on one of the things that she's talking about that is going to be a saboteur. Mm-hmm. And so, because these are our saboteurs. Mm-hmm. These are things that are active and alive.
And they manifest at different levels. And we can...
To varying degrees.
We can peg them even to different revenue levels.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So this, I don't want to put myself out there. I don't want to perform. Could be stopping you from making $5,000 a month.
Or...
Okay?
Yeah.
If I'm already at the place where I'm making $100,000 a month, but that same limiting pressure, constraining piece...
Yeah.
Is stopping me from going to $250,000 a month.
Right.
It's still a limiting. It's still a constraint. It's still a choking of the flow of abundance and expression.
But the vow.
Yes.
The declaration that happened, how many years ago was London?
23 years ago.
Come on! 23 years ago!
Yeah.
I solemnly declare out of sheer exhaustion, and I'm never doing this again. 23 years later, I can't seem to move forward.
Yeah.
Well, how come? I don't know. Well, what about speaking? No, don't talk about speaking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here we go today. I think that's a shift.
And when I think about, okay, I don't, because when I performed in the past, it was very much, I was like the paid performer who showed up and did the gig. I was not in control of anything.
No.
And I didn't have the maturity or the perspective to say, wait a minute, I will not perform under those circumstances. I want this, I want that, and want that. And I didn't.
No.
I would just be like, well, the show must go on.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you've got a fever or a sore throat or whatever, you're singing because people have shown up here and you have to perform.
And now you said, oh wait, I could tell people how to do it.
Yeah.
Rah.
I can be in charge.
So now that's a totally...
Here's how I'm going to show up. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's how long I'm going to do it for. I might decide that, you know what, I don't want to speak if it's less than 2 hours.
Yeah.
Because I can't communicate anything valuable in less than 2 hours.
No.
And everybody goes, nobody speaks for 2 hours. You can't hold an audience for 2 hours.
I can.
Don't invite me.
Yep.
I don't have to come.
Right.
Not saying, I mean, two hours.
No,
I just
exactly.
Pull that out of
sure,
the air.
Sure.
Or like I said, I could say, well, I'm only doing local or I'm only going to fly maximum 3 hours. Because 3 hours, I find I can fly, and I can still feel like I haven't, you know, turned my body clock inside out. And,
yeah.
And just deprived myself.
You know what's interesting, though, is if you take the two perspectives, the one that you've been living with for 23 years, mm-hmm. and the one you've had for 3 minutes, they don't make sense. Because you're not the same person.
Yeah.
So you have some of the same things, we know this, but you're not in the same position even.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So here you go. It doesn't even fit for the time. It was right for them.
Yeah.
It helped you cut that off, move into something different. But today, you're not living out of the past, and who cares about that?
Yeah.
That vow and the declaration didn't work for now, mm-hmm. but it was the thing that's holding you back. And now you have more integrity and power in authenticity, and you can
You can tell what you want.
And so let's go back to that was really important, what Lori just said about that worked for then.
Yes.
But it doesn't work for now. Find out where your pressure points are. Trace it back to the pieces that are applying the pressure,
yep,
that are limiting you and holding you back, and reframe them, reposition them to embody freedom.
Without pain.
Without pain.
And be authentic. Do 5 things!